It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparra Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report with Paul Ramo. It is usual position at the control panel. Boy, we got a treat for you today. Paul Ramo sat down and talked to Carrie Tollefson, and just a great interview she's having. You're going to be hearing that momentarily after the first commercial. And then last week, after the show, we interviewed a fellow that I went to college with back in the, back in the 60s in the dorm. And then met, did some things with him over the years at St. Cloud State. And now he was the head basketball coach in the late 70s and early 80s in Montevideo, sent the team to state, I believe, in 1976, Montevideo Mohawks back in that time. And now is a motivational speaker and talks about some of his experiences in coaching, and he wrote a book, and we're going to be talking that interview about his book after Carrie Tollefson. Yet next week, spring culture show starts at 8:30 every Saturday morning, and we'll start that next week as well. So we'll take this commercial break and come back with that interview with Paul Ramo and Carrie Tollefson after this.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher, you'll find center-cut pork chops $2 a pound, top sirloin steak $8.99 a pound. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest. Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Of course, we're between seasons, the winter season and the spring season, and we always like to interview some alumni, and we probably have one of the most famous alumni that I know of. Anyway, Carrie Tollefson is going to join us here right now by phone, and good morning, Carrie.
Good morning, Paul. This is so fun to be on the show again.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it?
It has. And, you know, I don't want to think I'm getting older, but I think it's inevitable. I'm getting older, so time just keeps going.
That's right. For your listeners, Carrie graduated from Dawson Boyd High School. What year, Carrie?
1995. Okay. Let's give it up for the 90s.
Yeah, my oldest are in the 90s too, so I remember it well. So yeah, just a little background on Carrie before we begin. Carrie was a 13-time state champion. I said 13, 8 in track and 5 in cross country. And is that a national record? Does that still stand, do you know, Carrie?
Well, not the 13. The 13 is a Minnesota state record still. No one has won that. Okay. But 5 straight cross country is still a national record. And I believe Corey McGee, who is an Olympian and going again for the Olympic team this summer. I think she has five as well. So now there is someone that has joined the ranks with me, but it's still a national record.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We'll talk about that, your career, high school career here in a little bit. And, of course, the biggest thing is she won some NCAA national titles and was in the 2004 Olympic Games. Does that seem like yesterday to you, the Olympic Games, or is far off?
It feels like yesterday, I'd say. But, you know, every now and then my husband, Charlie, who's a La Caparo grad, he'll say, that was 20 years ago, Carrie. I'm like, you just bite your tongue, mister. So, yeah, it was a long time ago. But, you know, saying that I'm an Olympian never gets old, Paul. It's fun for me to say that. But also just, you know, I came from out there. It's a small town. It's fun to think that we can dream big and achieve some dreams. So, yeah, I mean, I love it.
That's right. Well, Gary, let's start out talking about your high school career at Dawson Boyd High School. Maybe talk about some of the sports you're in. Were you a three-sport athlete?
Yeah, I was. I ran cross country, and then I played basketball in the winter, and then I ran track in the spring, and then I went back to the basketball world in the summertime mainly. I didn't run a lot. Like, a lot of people think that I ran year-round. I didn't really run year-round. I was definitely a two-sported athlete, if you consider the fact that there's running in both cross and track, you know.
Right.
But I loved being a well-rounded athlete. And you know, where we are out there, we played tennis, and I was in softball up until the point where I think my family started seeing scholarship dollars, you know. Maybe,
yep.
Maybe I shouldn't be playing summer league when I wasn't that good at the sport. But, yeah, we would get to the volleyball court whenever we could, and I just love doing everything out there, and I miss it so much. Actually, Charlie and I just said the other day, maybe we should move back out there because our kids were in everything. Us kids were in everything, and our kids could be in everything. So, yeah, it was great to be in all the sports and all the activities we could be in.
Yeah. What do you remember about high school the most as far as classes and teammates and friends and teachers? And you live right in the heart of town, right?
I did, yep.
And talk about your mom and dad and your family a little bit.
Yeah, so my mom and dad were John and Ginger Tullison. My mom was a hairdresser, and she had a salon in our basement in our house. And I loved it because I am a chatty Kathy, so I could just go downstairs and talk with all kinds of, you know, all the customers. And my dad was a city attorney, county attorney. He worked in Madison a little bit. He worked in Dawson. And so mom and dad were high school sweethearts in Madison. And, you know, we love it out there. I still have my sister Stacy and brother-in-law Danny Lee. They are out there. And then my other sister Cammy is up here in the city. So, yeah, I mean, it was wonderful. I loved living right by school, by church, by, you know, the downtown area, and yeah, it
small,
was fun.
Small town America, right?
and that's actually how my husband and I are. We, even though we live in St. Paul, we live, like, I can look at my boys' school. We live right by, you know, the downtown area of my little Highland Village, and, you know, everything I do, I try to kind of mimic what life was like out in Dawson. I loved my childhood. And you asked what I think about. I think about my friends. You know, I'm in contact all the time with my high school girlfriends and my guy friends. We're texting all the time. And ironically, before you and I even said we were going to have this conversation, I just watched the 1994 and 95 subsection basketball tournament because we just plugged in a VCR and I watched the game. So, like, I live through Dawson Boyd and La Caparo Valley all the time.
Right, that's right. Yeah, I can remember broadcasting a baseball game when La Caparo Valley first started and watching, you know, the track meet out of the press box in the baseball stand there and watching you kind of lap everybody. That was fun.
Everyone's lapping me nowadays, though, Pete. I mean, I am definitely getting slower by the second.
Right. So in high school, you played basketball, too. So what did you have a favorite sport in high school? Was it
basketball.
Running or what's that?
Basketball was my favorite sport, to be honest. I just loved it. I mean, if I could hear da, 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 the warm-up song that we came into every time on the, you know, that our pep band played, if I could just do layup where Sherry Norgard has given me a baseball pass down the court. If I could do a press with Jolene Johnson and Nicole Faulness, like, we just had a blast, Paul. And we did it, like I said, in the winter, but then in the summer we played. And even though I absolutely love to run, the basketball season for me was just so different. And it took a little bit of pressure off of just me performing by myself, because I had to help my teammates on the court. And I loved knowing that Sherry was one of the best. What us girls could do with her was pretty special. So, yeah, I mean, I love to run, but I also really love to play basketball.
Yeah, did you ever consider thinking about playing college basketball? Or
I think there was a dream at one point where, you know, I think I was ranked one time as, like, the top 25 guard in the state. And, you know, I can remember sitting at home and talking to my family about that. And my dad, who, you know, we had these really awesome conversations on the run and out at home. And, you know, he would bring it back to reality sometimes. And he'd say, Carrie, are you top 25 in the state of Minnesota in basketball for guards? And I'm like, I think so. I think I got ranked that once. And he said, are you in the top 25 in the nation for running?
Yeah.
And I was. So he said, okay, we got to just, you know, we got to think about this now. So we had some hard conversations sometimes, but I wouldn't have changed it for the world. I love what I've been able to do with my career.
Yeah, for sure. What sports were Stacy and Cammie in then?
So Cammie and Stacy were both runners as well. Cammie was a hurdler. Stacy was more on the distance side, so she would run the mile and the 2 mile. They also played some tennis. Cammie and Stacy both played basketball. Stacy likes to tease that she was not the athlete of the family. She is so brilliant. Anyone who has ever had her for a lawyer or an accountant, I mean, you know, this woman, she said if she could have been paid to go to school, she would have. She loved going to school.
Awesome.
But she was a great athlete. She just was a little more well-rounded in art, in school, and in athletics. Mm-hmm. Cammie, on the other hand, was a stud. I mean, she was so good on the court. She was so fun to watch play basketball. But then when she would run the hurdles and track, I mean, nobody could stay with her. So my sisters both were rock stars. I was so thankful I was third in the family because, you know, coming after them was fun because I got to strive to be like them.
You mentioned Sherry Norgard. I just read a really nice article about her and her family.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So how many years did you play with Sherry? And talk about her a little bit. She's quite the athlete, too.
Well, those that remember Coach Ruzak from Dawson, he's a longtime coach and has, you know, passed many years ago because he was old when I was young. But Sherry and I were 5 years old, I believe, and we went and had some private lessons with Coach Ruzak. So, you know, and then we were always at the Norgard house. She was one of my best friends. So we just grew up watching what the Norgard girls and what Jeff did. And, Patrick Mader is a friend of mine, and he reached out to me and he said, hey, I saw that article or something that I had liked of Sherry Norgard. He's like, I got to get her story. Her family sounds amazing. And I mean, yes, I love the Norgards. And I do give them a lot of credit. I feel like I don't think I would have dreamed as big had I not been over shooting buckets with Sherry and Jeff and Cammie and Julie and all the kids that were out in Dawson. We thought we could do big things, and we all wanted to be good.
Yep.
So, you know, Chris Jostock came after the Norgards. Like, it was just, we always had people to look up to, and it was the Lee boys before us. You know, there's so many athletes out there, and it just kind of is contagious.
That's right. Yeah, Dawson Boyd been really blessed with some outstanding athletes over the season, right, over the years.
Yeah. Well, and then Mindy Sherm. I mean, I can go on and on and on, right?
Yep, like, right.
All the people that we saw play against Jeff. Like, you know, it was so fun, and we all were these small-town athletes, but yet you kind of knew of each other, and you sort of got to know each other at different camps and things, so...
Right.
I really believe that we have something. It's not just in the water, you know. It's in the spirit as well.
That's right. We're not going to end there talking about your high school career without talking about your husband, Charlie Peterson, graduate from La Caprile Valley. So how did you two meet then?
Well, I just thought Charlie was the cutest. Every time I went out there for spring track season, he would be in the gym because he would play golf. So we get to see him.
Oh, he's a golfer.
Okay. He was a golfer. And back in the day, I don't know if they still do it, but they had this net up, like kind of upstairs somehow. I think it was above like the bleachers.
Yep, yep. It's still there. Yep.
Is it? And yep. They would, you know, tee off or do whatever they do. And I just remember thinking he was so handsome. He was 2 years older than me. So I held his hand at the Norgard house in 1993. That's to the extent of how I kind of knew he liked me. And then 7 years later, no joke, Paul, I ran into him on the Stone Arch Bridge. I was on a run. Cammie was on a bike, my sister. No, Paula Anderson was on a bike, and Cammie was running with me.
Okay.
And he was walking home from his architecture firm, and I said, oh, I know that guy. It's Charlie Peterson. And I asked him if he was married. Like, hadn't seen him in 7 years. First question, are you married? So pretty much he knew from, you know, 2003 right. or whatever year that was, 2001, I guess, that I still had a big crush on him.
Okay, so let me get this straight. After high school, you kind of just went your own ways until you ran into him on that bridge then.
Yeah, he played football at Hamlin for a few years, went to college at the U, and, we had our own lives there, but I am so thankful I ran into him. He is such a good guy.
So you started dating a first date right away then, or what?
No. So it was kind of newer to email, right? But I gave him my email, and it took him 3 weeks to email me, Paul. I thought he thought I was nuts. I was, you know, kind of nervous, and I blurted out, are you married? Rather than like, hey, how you been the last 7 years? I had these, like, shades that were really like sporty, and I think I even said I'm a professional athlete. Like, I was just saying all the wrong things, and so he came around. I didn't scare him off.
I remember Charlie. I'm pretty sure he played wide receiver for Lacaparle Valley, and he was a very good wide receiver, very good football player.
So. Yeah, he was, and we actually watched that the other night, too, so we had all the tapes out.
Oh, nice.
But he is a great athlete. He calls, you know, he says he's kind of a jack-of-all-trades, master of none. He really is. He's good at his job. He's a very, very brilliant architect, and but he's really good in all the sports that he does. So good. He's done, like, I don't know, 35 marathons, 5 Ironman. He plays basketball, and he'll, you know, coaches everything. So,
nice. Yeah,
we have fun.
Nice. That's good. Well, after high school, then you went to Villanova. Talk about your Villanova experience a little bit and how you got going in the Olympics.
Yeah, we went to Villanova. When I first went out there, obviously my recruiting trip was, I flew out there, 2.5-hour flight, didn't think anything of it. And then my mom and dad and I drove out there. I didn't realize it would take us like 26 hours. I was like, where in the heck am I going, Mom and Dad? but, you know, Villanova had won 6 cross-country NCAA championships as a team before I got there. And they had 8 of the 10 individual champions. And so that was the spot to go. It was a long ways away from home. I loved Coach Wilson and the University of Minnesota. But when I told him I was going to go to Villanova, he said he couldn't have. I mean, really, I think he knew that I had an opportunity to go to the best, and he was pretty pumped for me. So I loved it. I was there for 5 years because I had a pretty significant injury after my first NCAA championship. But then I signed with Adidas right after, and I moved back home to Minnesota to train with a professional group here that just. We just have a new Olympian that made the team here in the marathon. So it's pretty awesome. It's been say that I was one of the first to be back here training with this group, and now we still have awesome athletes that are now sending an athlete to Paris.
Good. That's awesome. What was that experience like in Greece for you in the Olympics?
Oh, it was pretty amazing. I mean, you know, I thought a lot about Dawson and Lacaparle Valley and where things started for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I mean, you can dream big, and you know, we didn't have indoor tracks out there. I was lucky that my parents could afford a treadmill my last couple years of high school when it was snowing or when there was some really bad weather, when other kids were in the cities just, you know, heading over to an indoor track. And we didn't have all the bells and whistles, but we got it done. And I was really excited to be able to say I was from small town USA and made it all the way over to Greece.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I remember that very well. We're all cheering for you.
I know everyone was. I could feel it, and I every now and then in my email, because I still use Hotmail, Keith, everybody is like, that still exists? I'm like, yes, I still use it.
I use Hotmail, too.
See? I think that's where it's at. But anyway, I still have a folder from 2004, and every now and then I'll go in and read emails from people from all over, but especially from out west, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate the support over the years. It's been really special.
That's right. All right, if you're just tuning in to the Coach Show, we're visiting with Dawson Boyd Blackjack graduate Carrie Tollison, and we're going to catch up with Carrie here. So, Carrie, to tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, and talk about a little bit about your family.
Yeah, I'm a mom now of three. Charlie and I have three kiddos. Ruby's 13, almost 14. Everett is 10, almost 11, and Greer just turned 8. So we have a girl and two boys, and we are a youth sports family through and through. There are so many things going on in our lives with these kiddos, but I'm still in the world of sport. I am doing quite a bit of broadcast work still.
On the national level, I should say, right?
Yeah, and actually heading over to Paris. I turned down Tokyo in 2021 due to the pandemic, and being away for 5 weeks just wasn't what my family could do at that time. But now I'm heading over to the Olympic Games in August. I'll be there with the Olympic Broadcast Service. And
nice.
Yeah, it's been really fun, Paul. I mean, you and I, you know, back in the day you let me on the radio when I was just in college.
Yeah.
And so to be able to say this is my career now has been a real blessing, and it's been super fun.
Yeah, you jumped on the golf cart with me a few times broadcasting the Lac Parle Valley Dawson Boyd cross country teams. You remember that?
Local. Yes, loved it. I did a basketball game with you, and I closed my eyes because it was down to the buzzer.
Yep, I remember.
I
also remember
you
sent. Yeah, you sent me a picture. You were at Madison Square Garden, I think, when your nephew Joey was playing basketball for Dawson Boyd.
Yeah,
I remember you were listening to us from Marshall, and you were at Madison Square Garden, I think.
Yeah, I was watching the Villanova Wildcats play the Big East tournament, and then watching Joey and the Blackjacks play at the same time.
How old did you say Ruby was already?
She is turning 14.
Oh my goodness!
On April 1st, I know, it's wild. So she's in eighth grade.
Okay, and she involved in sports too, then I would guess, huh?
She is. She is a runner, so she runs cross, and then she runs middle distance and distance for track, and then she is a cross-country skier and a basketball player, so she's figuring it out, but she's as tall as I am, so she's grown quite a bit, and, you know, just absolutely loving it. She's a social butterfly.
I remember when Ruby was really little, you were out at Lac Parle for an event, and I was broadcasting out there, and she wanted to sing. She asked me, can I sing on the radio? I said, sure.
Gosh.
I don't know if you remember that. But
I do.
Do you?
Yes. She is something else. You know, it's hard for me to handle me by myself, but yeah. Now I have two of us in this house, and it's a lot.
That was my next question. How do you manage, you know, being on national TV? You're on a number of TV commercials. We see on TV commercials locally, and being a mom and your career and a wife. How do you manage it?
Well, there's one guy that's, you know, we've been talking about, but Charlie Peterson has been my rock through everything. I mean, he really has let me shine in life, and I think that I owe a lot to him. He's always the guy in the corner, and he's just willing to pick up the slack when we need it. So I've been lucky that way. But, of course, my family is here in the cities, and so it takes a lot. I mean, there's a lot of juggling with my schedule. I travel a lot. And I miss a lot, but then my family just kind of fills in those gaps. You know, my parents don't miss much, and it's so nice, because I think that's what's heavy on my heart all the time is, am I missing things? Am I missing my kids? When my mom and dad didn't miss anything. So Charlie and my family really kind of allow this career to happen, and I definitely wouldn't be able to do what I do without them.
Right, right, yeah. Well, you do a great job. We're really proud of you. I watch you on national TV. You guys do a great job. You know, everybody thinks, oh, you just show up on TV and she's on TV. But you put a lot of work into that. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes things that go on, right? You were just out in New York this past weekend, I think.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of research that goes into what we do. You know, when you... People don't watch marathons very often from start to finish, but when you're commentating and you have to be on there for 3 hours, you have to figure out all the ins and outs of what these athletes are about. So the research takes a lot of time. And I tell you what, the hardest part about the research is figuring out how to make your notes accessible real quick because things happen. And
exactly.
So, the research is probably the most time-consuming. I think the other thing that's hard for me is to sort of dump some of the information that I've learned for one race and then have to go to the next race and like not screw names up or stats up. That's probably the hardest thing for me. As you know,
yep.
Paul, that is going from one event to the next. I don't know how you do it with multiple sports. Like I at least am just talking about the one sport I did,
right.
But you have to do it and it's a lot.
Yep. I enjoy it though. You know, once you do it long enough, you kind of know who's coming up and who's who and what goes and what works for you and what doesn't and stuff like that. So, Carrie, talk about your podcast. See, Tully Run is pretty popular podcast that you're doing. You look like you have so much fun doing that with the interview.
I do. I mean, I just love to chat like you do. I mean, this is so fun for me to be on the show. And so that's what I try to do with my podcast is just, you know, introduce people to the world of sport or just try to inspire someone that's out for a walk or a run and have them put me in their ears and hear about other people. It's been, it was a YouTube channel and we started that when Ruby was born in 2011, right after she was born. And then we transitioned to the podcast in 2016. And one of my proudest things, Paul, is that we have not missed a week.
Oh, wow.
In all those years. You know, there have been a couple short episodes, but we really we've not missed a week. So, every Thursday there's a new podcast out, and it's all kinds of different people. It's not just elites. There are a lot of elite athletes on my show, but, you know, we just have a mixed match of whoever wants to come on and talk about getting after life.
So do you manage that podcast yourself, or do you have a team that works with you with that? Or
no, I do it all on my own right now, besides my editor, who does a lot of
he
gets all of the episodes together, and he helps me with, like, the technical side of things. But, yeah, I call all the people that I'm interviewing, and you know, we don't do as much as we probably should with the podcast. I don't promote it as much as I should or the way I should, but it really has been a labor of love, and we've enjoyed every minute of it.
All right, real good, Carrie. Well, we're going to end our little interview here with how you do some of your podcasts, some quick questions to get to know Carrie a little better. How about that? You're on this end of it.
I'm not very good at that, just so you know.
Well,
rapid fire I love to do, but I'm not good at it. So, okay, bring
them
at me.
All right, there's just a few of them to go through here. But first, the first question is, this came from a lady. She knew I was going to interview you, and she wanted to know this. She goes, do you wear makeup when you run?
Yes.
Okay.
But I want to tell her why. I am the worst at washing my face. So if I have makeup on from the day before, that's the makeup that I wear the next morning, and then I'll shower after and get my face all clean. But, and when I was racing, I definitely had makeup on. It was sort of my routine to put a little bit of makeup on. My mom, being a hairdresser and in the world of beauty, she always told us to just wear a little bit of lipstick or a little color on your lips. So there you go.
There you go. Okay, we're going to do some rapid fire here stuff then. What makes you laugh the most, Carrie?
Oh, my kiddos. They are hilarious and wild, and yes, the kids.
What's your favorite sport to watch?
Basketball.
Okay. Would you rather ride a bike, ride a horse, or drive a car?
Ooh, I probably would rather ride a bike, but I'd like to be on a bike path where there's no cars because I get super focused and I'm a little nervous about a crash or getting hit by a car.
Okay. So what's your two pet peeves? You got two pet peeves or one big one?
Ooh, two pet peeves. Probably not having enough time to work out. Ooh. And probably when I'm trying to sleep and someone's snoring. And I'm not going to name names.
Okay, don't name names. So how many pairs of shoes do you own? That's our next question.
Oh, well, oh. I own probably 100 running pairs of shoes. No joke. Like, we have so many around our house. And I'm so thankful because Adidas has been really good to me over the years. So I don't throw away any running shoes. They might be 5 years old, but they're still here at the house.
All right. How many pillows do you sleep with?
I sleep with 2 pillows.
Okay. What's your favorite holiday?
Probably Christmas.
Okay. And do you consider yourself a clean or a kind of a messy person?
I'd say clean.
All right. How long does it take you to get ready in the morning?
Great question. 15 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
Everything I do is against the clock. Like, seriously, I have PRs with how fast I can dry my hair and get it curled. Like, it's crazy. I'm so into the watch. It's kind of it's maybe not a good thing.
Right. I think I can answer the next question for you, but I'm going to see if I'm right. What's your favorite fast food chain?
Oh, Dairy Queen.
Oh, I knew it. I got it right.
Give me a Oreo Blizzard any day.
Yeah. What's your favorite family tradition, Carrie?
Oh, family tradition. Oh, gosh. What do we do? I would have to say probably travel. One of the things that my family does every other year, we go to Mexico with my entire family on the Tellefson side. And that is a tradition that I hope we carry on for a long, long time.
Oh, that's awesome. What was your favorite subject in school?
Math.
Math. You're a mathematician, huh?
Well, I liked the timetables. I liked to go as fast as I possibly could and, you know, add as fast as I could.
Oh, nice.
Everything's, again, against the crazy.
Yeah. All right, a couple more. Do you collect anything? Are you a collector of anything?
No, I don't think I am a collector.
Yeah.
Running clothes? I have a real hard time getting rid of running clothes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I get a lot of them, but, you know, it doesn't really go out of style that often, so I just keep a lot of it.
You don't save your marathon numbers or anything
no.
like that?
No, and ironically, I'm really bad with that. Charlie will know where my medals are. I have no clue where they are.
Okay. Okay.
It's just how it is.
All right. A couple more. On a scale of 1 to 10, how funny would you say you are?
Oh, my goodness. I think I'm a 10, but I don't know if everyone else does.
Well, what would Charlie say or Ruby say?
Well, maybe you would have to ask him how annoying am I, because he might laugh at me, but it might be more of an annoyance. So Ruby and I get a kick out of each other. She'd probably say I was a 10.
Okay, awesome. Do you remember your first job?
Yeah, I was a coach at the Dawson Boyd Summer Rec.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
During the summertime?
Yes. But some might say that I was a photographer because I used to walk around when I was real little and take pictures of all my mom's friends that came to Ginger's, her hair salon, and yep. I would pretend to take pictures of old ladies, and then I would go home and color a picture of them and bring them back to them.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, so that might have been, and then I would ask them to pay me, which they, you know, usually did, but then my mom would make me return it.
Okay. That's awesome. All right, last one. Who's your favorite high school sports broadcaster?
Oh, my gosh. I'm talking to him right now. Paul Ramo.
I thought I'd just throw that in there.
And, you know, I get a giggle every time when you say, oh, we're going to go grab some popcorn or whatever. Like, I just love how you have stayed true to you, Paul. You bring such joy and excitement to the sports out there, and you know, without you too, I don't think we would have dreamed as big. Like, you bring the excitement, you inspire all of us, and you bring our stories to life, and I just can't thank you enough.
Oh, you're too kind, Carrie. Thank you.
I
love
it's
my job.
Truth. And we know that, yep. And that really shines. So
I keep telling you. Maynard, you know, I'd do this for nothing, and Maynard always says, can I get that in writing?
Nope, we need you to stick around.
Yeah.
So you're worth way more than you already have been given.
Yeah. Well, this has been fun. Thank you so much, Carrie. We're very proud of you, and we follow you. You do a great job on social media as well, and this has been fun this morning.
Well, thank you, and I'm so proud to call myself a Blackjack and someone that ran for Lacaparo Valley. We, you know, had so much fun out there, and it's because of Sherb and all the great coaches, and you guys keep doing what you're doing out there, and good luck to all the athletes.
Sherb's still around, you know.
I know he is, and he's a phenomenal coach. He really is, but an even better person.
That's right. All right, Carrie, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yep, take it easy.
All right, that's Carrie Tollefson, and we'll take a commercial break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
I'm with Monica Bothan from Monica's Apparel and Accessories on Chestnut Street in Dawson. Monica, should we hop in to Monica's for Easter?
We sure should, Paul Ramo. That is such a catchy tune. I have gotten so much merchandise in linen, new linen jackets and dresses and new reversible dresses and sandals and shoes and capris and shorts. You name it, I've got it. And if I don't, I'll get it. Hop on in to Monica's Apparel and Accessories on Chestnut Street. Open Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment. Chocolate, sea salt, caramel while you're shopping.
Shop Monica's on Chestnut Street in Dawson.
Wondering how to choose from all your spring break options? Pop quiz. Is your family into monkeying around, airbending on a flying bison, or diving into slime? Or all of it? Mall of America. Go bananas on the new Boots Banana Swing Ride. Take to the sky and fly with Appa. Then get slimed in the Nickelodeon Universe Slimulator. For the littles, cosmic crafts, and more at Crayola Experience. It's this at Mall of America. MallofAmerica.com/spring.
During March, National Ag Month, we proudly celebrate the wholesome contributions of our country's farms and farm families. American agriculture is the foundation of our country. It's the backbone of a healthy and prosperous nation made possible by the hard work of America's farms and farm families. American agriculture brings everyone to the table. Hats off to all of our area farmers and agribusinesses during March, National Ag Month. A big salute to everyone involved in agriculture during Ag Month from the Western Guard newspaper, Ziegler Ag in Madison, Madison Optical, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Klein Agency in Madison, Old National Bank, and Farm Bureau Insurance, Brian Tebbett Agent in Madison.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. Like Carrie Tollefson that you just heard, former athlete for Dawson Boyd, and especially in track and cross country for Dawson, Lacaparo Dawson Boyd, and very famous as running in the Olympics. So, that great interview with her to find out what she's been up to. And I've got another person that I knew during college back in the mid to late 70s that at St. Cloud that we've gone our separate ways, but I did know that he coached boys basketball in Montevideo when they were the Mohawks back in the 70s up to about the 80s and took them to state 1 year. I think they've been to state 1 year since, but he was in Montevideo about a month ago, gave me a call, went and watched the Thunderhawks play a game, and then we met the next day for coffee. And now he's kind of a motivational speaker. He's still busy. He's a year older than I am. So, but he's got a pretty good message to talk about, and he's written a book. And I just want to introduce you to Dennis Smith. So welcome aboard there, Denny.
Well, thank you, Dick. Actually, that was 55 years ago today, this year that we were in the dorm, next room to each other, got to know each other, and have maintained some contact ever since. So as always, we've said this so many times, Dick, off the air, that the world of athletics is just, you meet people, the connections that we make are absolutely wonderful. And we talk about all of the benefits, the social benefits of the athletes, and they certainly are. But we as adults enjoy those same benefits by the networking that we do, by the friendships that we make. And for 38 minutes, we're trying to beat each other. Game is over, we realize what a great fraternity coaching and athletics in general is.
Yeah, in fact, you've worn a lot of different hats in a lot of different places, and also because of that,
your coaching technique has changed a little bit, and you've written a book about coaches make the difference.
Yeah, Dick, and that is kind of my mission right now, you know, because I, you know, I had a lot of gifts. I could give a pep talk with the best of them, but too many times my authoritarian, in-your-face coaching style negated so much of that. So I'm on a mission right now to inspire coaches and everybody, for that matter, to really take a look at their coaching style and develop a thing that I call emotional intelligence, which is nothing more than the art of self-control, and to do that as early in your life as possible. You know, I wish I would have worked on this when I was 25 and waiting till later in my career, but it is never too late, you know. We can always, and we should constantly be tweaking our coaching style anyway. You know, we always look to get better at fundamentals and game strategy and everything, and as coaches, we should really take a look at how do I become better at relating to players, at motivating, driving them hard. We have to do that, but how can I do that? So hard work and effort and energy and all of those things are enjoyable.
Yeah, and I was one of those old-fashioned coaches myself, and I've read your book, and I wish I could do it over again, but you can't.
Can't do it. We have more yesterdays than tomorrow, Dick. But we can still spread the good word and still enjoy the camaraderie and the friendship that goes with coaching and competitive athletics in general.
Right. And I think what you're going to do now for the next 5 minutes or so is maybe talk about the parents of athletes now and how they can handle themselves and with the coaches and things like that, and if they want, they can contact me, and I can show them some of the stuff that you've written in your book.
Yes, and I have to give credit for this to Charlie Campbell. He's a member or officer at the Minnesota State High School League. We were talking one day about athletics in general, and he talked about parents and gave me this piece of advice, which really makes a lot of sense. And he said, have a conversation for parents. Have a conversation with your athletes and ask them, how would you like me to cheer for you? And most of them aren't going to say, well, I want you to be a jerk and holler at the refs and, you know, holler at the other coaches. Most of them are going to describe to you how they would like to have you behave in the stands. And this is a powerful, powerful message, you know, and to realize that all kids are different. I mean, I was sharing this idea with a friend of mine whose son was a cross country runner, and he would be in the sidelines and giving him cheer, go, 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 you know what I'm talking about. And his son came off and absolutely livid, said, Dad, just be quiet and let me run my race. So his instruction to his dad was just be there, support me, but he didn't want to hear him. Other kids might say the opposite. Yes, I want to hear you. But I think most of them are going to want to say, you know, I would really like you to be a class act in the stands and be supportive of me and my kids and, you know, just really behave yourself. The sports behavior has become a concern. In fact, there's a bill in the legislature right now that is dealing with unsportsmanlike behavior from parents. And I think you and I would agree that, well, let's take a more positive preventative approach. So the one thing that that Charlie had talked about was having that conversation. And the other thing he talked about is the ride home after practice or the ride home after the game. Sometimes kids want to talk about it. Sometimes they just want to talk about somebody else, something else, and you can say, well, how'd practice go? And you know, tell your athlete that. If you don't want to talk about it, just say, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, I don't want to talk about it right now. Let's talk about something else, and then you can talk about the price of tea in China or whatever else you want to talk about. But they want their mind off of the practice and the game at that point. And, again, you can, you know, you open those communications, and all of a sudden, it's not offensive at all to say, hey, I don't want to talk about this. we're watching our grandson play lacrosse. And the same thing after a game. Sometimes he wants to talk, sometimes he doesn't. And then the third thing is just to really keep winning in perspective. Al McGuire, who you remember, Dick, from Marquette to coach back in the 60s, won a national championship the last game of his career. He had this to say. He said, the greatest emotion is winning. The second greatest emotion is losing. You have the ups and the downs, and it just hurts. You know, that loss hurts. But above all, to really always be a class act. And then to realize this, if you want to be a winner, you have to learn how to lose. You have to learn with humility and grace. Yeah, I mean, win with humility and grace, and you have to lose with class and dignity. And if we can learn those things, and as coaches, we can teach those things by example, the whole athletic experience is going to be so much more rewarding and something that we'll cherish for the rest of our lives.
Okay. Yep. So, in you're going to email me some of the things from your book, and if any of the parents want that, certainly get over to me here at the radio station, and possibly come out to Lac qui Parle and talk to a parental group or a team in the future.
I would love to do that. My mission in life right now is to talk to as many people as I can and just have us all put this whole thing in perspective. Athletics should be a great experience. And I think most of us, Dick, looking back at our careers, it's been a wonderful, wonderful ride. And we want to make sure that our young athletes are enjoying that ride as much as they possibly can. And that, you know, that we go far beyond the verdict of the scoreboard when it comes to what we're teaching in athletics.
Yes. And, I know I used to have a theory myself that I think Green Bay Packer coach Vince Lombardi said winning isn't it's everything. But I used to say winning isn't everything, but the effort to win is. And if the effort is put in and you don't come out as a winner, at least you can be a gracious loser.
Yeah, and that is so important, to always, always be a class act. And those are the things that are going to carry over into any walk of life when our young people grow up to be community leaders and parents, and maybe many of them going into coaching. It's going to carry over into anything we do, and I guess that's why we justify the time and effort and resources that we put into competitive athletics for young people. There's so much educational value, and that's really it's why we play the game.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for having the chat this morning, and hopefully I'll get some responses from some of the parents or some of the listeners, and reach out to me, and I can send to them some of the information that you sent to me, and even, if they wish, give you your phone number so they can call you.
Okay, it's 320-250-9741. Always open to a phone call.
Okay. Thanks, Danny.
Yeah, thank you, Dick. And remember, Dick, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
That's how I close the culture show every week. So that's Danny Smith on the interview. And we'll have more of the culture show after this.
Our country's farmers work hard to provide food and clothing for the nation and the world. Their dedication is an inspiration to us and the next generation of farmers. We would not have the abundant food supply, the fiber and fuel we depend on daily. According to recent USDA studies, the ag sector right now remains a bright spot in terms of economic stability and growth, and there's a strong demand for U.S. ag products. Research and new technologies have boosted production, but someone still has to go outdoors and make things grow. During this March National Ag Month, it's a good time to reflect on and to be grateful for American agriculture and the American farmer.
Hats off to our area farmers from Livestock Systems of Dawson, Lac qui Parle Co-op Oil Company, Lac qui Parle Corn and Soybean Growers, Ludvigston Tiling, Mid-Minnesota Lumber, Warren Trigestad Seeds, MVTV Wireless, and Olson Sanitation.
Here's an Easter message from your friends at A&B Auto, your Napa parts store located downtown Dawson. This time of the year renews our hope in all God has ahead, for we were blessed eternally when Christ rose from the dead. So may your trust in Him remain constant, strong, and true, for He is working out His best as He lives His life in you. Wishing you a happy and blessed Easter. The special Easter message comes to you from A&B Auto, your Napa parts store located downtown Dawson.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. That was a fun interview, a couple of interviews. Paul Raymond with Carrie Tollefson. She's quite a lady there, and with local roots. That's amazing. She's nationally known for sure. And then with Danny Smith, a fellow that I met in college, and met. About a month ago at for coffee and talked he talked to the Montevideo culture staff and the team and athletic director Jesse Nelson, and I went out to school and gave a copy of his book to Zach, the AD at Lacaparra Valley. So any questions, give me a call or call him, and we can try to answer that for you. So talking about the radio station, Paul's getting calls here about the potential storm coming up, so keep that dial tuned to Q92 throughout the storm. And I think the weather channels and that prepare you for the worst, and we all hope for the better, but we do know that whatever we get won't last a real long time, better now than in November. So that's for sure. So we're going to close this show with a couple of Dick Newman things. I could tell you a joke about pizza, but it's a little cheesy. And I wouldn't buy anything with Velcro because it's a total ripoff. Well, thanks for listening. Tune again next week, and remember, the Culture Show in the spring starts at 8:30, and we'll start interviewing some spring coaches as after April 1st. We'll be in action, of course, weather permitting. And as Denny Smith mentioned, you just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.